hands-free phone calls, AirDrop, signals somehow making their way from Apollo 11 back to Earth, our wired world is actually pretty wireless. Has been for decades. Okay, put down your phone. The one that can unlock by just scanning your face. I want you to think about something. Think about how much is flying through the air, the data and secrets ricocheting all around us. How easy it would be to block it, to grab it, to steal it. What if we changed course? Almost like going back in time, remember? To send a message, to make a decision, you'd reach out and... When the convenience of wireless communication means risking your privacy and security, wouldn't it make sense for the solution to be touch? Contact? Cool, then let's take it one step further. Sending signals through the body itself. This might sound impossible. That is, until you realize one thing. There's actually electricity running through your veins. From News at Northeastern, this is Litmus, a conversation with Northeastern University's groundbreaking researchers. We connect what's going on in their labs to what's going on in your life. We're News at Northeastern reporters Aria Bracci
and Emily Arnson.
Kaushik Choudhury is an electrical and computer engineering professor at Northeastern University. He fell in love with computers and the networks that connect them back in high school.
I started on this, and especially the field of wireless networking, way back when I was, I think, in my 11th grade. That was a time when computers and the internet was sort of really taking a boom, and it was very cool to have an email account. I don't know if you even remember, there was this creaking sound that wires would make once they would connect to the internet, and that was fascinating. Like, here you have a machine talking to a machine on the other side of the world. To me, it's still magic.
But like any form of magic, it can have a dark side. Now, when machines talk to one another, the connection between them isn't so literal. Transmitted through radio waves instead of old-school phone cables, it's a lot more touch and go. So, problem number one. All it takes is something to get in the way of this wireless signal to block it. And since it's that easy to block, problem number two. It's not that much harder to hack. And yet, people use Wi-Fi all the time. You use it all the time. Smartwatches and tablets use it all the time. Even embedded medical devices use it. Yeah, that's right. Pacemakers rely on these imperfect free-floating signals.
Our existing wireless methods are not efficient enough to relay information inside the body and extract this information from the sensors inside the body.
The body is a unique landscape. It's hard enough to get a signal in your living room to reach your kitchen, so imagine that same kind of signal trying to pass through all the bone and fat and skin in your body. Which brings us back to the two original problems with Wi-Fi. Number one, the signal not being strong enough.
You will have to now send the signals at higher and higher powers, and that's dangerous. Essentially, any kind of wireless signal is a form of energy transfer. So as it passes through the body, part of the energy is lost within the tissues, and the energy conversion essentially ends up as heat.
So can that hurt you if it heats up too much?
True, it can hurt you. It can damage tissues.
Now let's say you reel in this signal and get it at a safe level. Even then, it's still radiating outside the body, which leads to problem number two, hackers.
That wireless signal is radiating outside of your body. Anyone with a intelligent radio can sniff it, can perhaps even crack it and decode it, and a lot of your private information could be out in the public. Not that we don't do it voluntarily these days, but...
Okay, true, but this takes on a whole different tone when you're dealing with private medical information. So what's the solution? I'll give you a clue.
The muscle tissue is really a very, very good conductor.
Think inside the box. Well, the body.
Essentially, we are injecting very weak electrical currents.
Kaushik's still going wireless, using waves, but he's containing them to the channels that already exist, electrically charged pathways in our bodies.
Now, think of these tissues as lanes of a highway. It's very hard for the cars to switch the lanes in this particular body highway, if you may call that. These signals are contained within your body tissue and they don't radiate out. It is highly secure. It cannot be sniffed. It cannot be spoofed or replicated.
Once Kaushik and his team landed on the idea of using the body as the vessel, they needed material to test this on. So they got something, a test subject with all the same electrical properties they imagined using in the flesh.
Initially, when we just started the project, it was just like a sandwich. You had a skin layer, a muscle layer. It sounds weird that I say it's a sandwich, but it really looks like one. But then, you know, the project took off and we got some more interest. We thought we might want to invest in a real hand. And that one does look like Frankenstein's monster's hand.
That's not that far off from what Stella Bono said. She's a PhD student working with Kaushik.
It looks like those Halloween pranks. Yeah. My professor always jokes that it's an ex-PhD student's hand.
Oh, God. Yeah. You're next.
Yeah, probably. When I'm done with the actual experiments, they'll take my hand, I guess.
Can you explain what it feels like when you're holding it right?
Well, it's kind of slimy. And we're supposed to keep it in water because otherwise it gets dry and then it loses its properties.
These properties being what makes it able to carry electricity the way our bodies do. The outside of the hand is slick, and if you squeeze it, it feels like when you get Novocaine and then touch your jaw with your hand. You're grossly aware that you're touching a body, but it doesn't feel like your body. And where the hand is chopped off at the wrist, there's what's supposed to be an arm bone sticking out from the end of it. Oh my God.
Yeah, and the muscle.
Yeah, that's hard.
The muscle is softer.
Can't say I've ever touched muscle.
Yeah, well,
but
now you have.
Yeah, whoa. And the muscle is the magic conductor. It transmits electricity better than any other part of the body. And everyone's got muscle. Come on, don't get down on yourself, you do. So this passageway has so many applications. Preventing seizures is one. With this one method of sending electrical pulses from the chest up to the brain, you currently have to physically wrap a cord around a nerve in a person's neck.
So there's a wire that goes from the heart to the vagus nerve. That link can be made wireless.
Or think about managing diabetes.
We can have an artificial pancreas. We can detect the blood glucose level and then send it back to an insulin pump that can push in the appropriate dosage of insulin live as the changes occur.
So having sat here with you and talked about this, I can understand that this is hypothetically to make things more efficient and more secure and safer for people. But I can imagine that people would also still be freaked out by this. Bodies are personal. Right. And I'm just wondering what you think the reception to this might be.
So this is an interesting question. You know, one can answer this in a couple of different ways. The first one is, yes, people have voiced concerns. And, you know, when I give demonstrations of this technology to students, often in undergraduate fairs here at Northeastern, I tell them, no, I don't have an operating table under the basement of my lab and I'm churning out Frankenstein's monsters. I'm not doing that. And then they feel more relaxed.
It still needs some work and some PR, but this reality isn't that far off.
Look, implants are coming. That future is coming. Think of a future where diseases are detected even before they take hold of your body. That is a future which, whether we like it or not, seems to be on the horizon.
There's something else coming up over the horizon, and it's a lot more hands-on. But before I tell you what it is, imagine that sharp new phone you've just bought. It uses your finger or your face or your eye to unlock. Maybe you think that's great. No memorizing passwords for you. Well,
for example, the fingerprint, you can find someone's fingerprint and create a mold. With a facial and retina recognition, what happens is that you can create really high resolution videos of someone and try to mimic them.
Not only can wireless signals be sniffed, as Kaushik said, things that we'd like to think are unique to our bodies, things that can unlock devices without these wireless signals, can also be taken from us. But remember,
if we can send that signal securely through the fingers, through your body tissues in a way that cannot be leaked, what can we do with that signal?
So even if the medical applications feel far off or they just aren't your thing, there's something else that's much more likely to fit into your life.
Your ECG pattern is now sent through the fingertip onto the key itself.
The most authentic authentication.
Your ECG pattern, which is tuned to your heart, is being used to authenticate every keystroke that you're making.
That's right. The same way that they can funnel electrical signals from something like a pacemaker down your arm and out your fingertips, they can harness your heartbeat and translate that into its own unique information, which they can then send wirelessly. So you don't need to be a tech junkie to use this. You just need to have a pulse. Literally.
So the computer knows that it's you.
Yes, the computer knows it's you or it's not you, based on this very secure signal that we are sending it through the finger to the keyboard, and the computer is like assessing every keystroke.
That's nuts. Through a wristband, similar to a Fitbit, what was once just your heartbeat gets translated to encoded information, a password, no brain space required. Then, just by holding your phone or touching your keyboard, you're in. So that means that no one, no matter how sneaky, can pretend to be you. Your devices, your information, it's all on lock.
If, for example, the person wearing the smartwatch and tries to unlock the device is the same whose ECG signal, whose heart signal is in the template of the device, then the device will unlock. But if, for example, you try to wear my bracelet and unlock my device, it won't work because my device has saved my ECG signal.
You can authenticate a doorknob, you can authenticate a laptop, a smartphone. The way you hold the case can indicate it's really you, because the same signals will flow through your fingers and hold onto the case of a phone.
I know you're all saying, whoa, I can hear it, I can feel it, and whoa is right. So how soon can you get in line for this?
For the authentication work that I just described, we actually have prototypes where we can show this authentication using ECG signals collected from your wrist. It's not really a conceptual or a thought experiment. If there's any interested buyer for this kind of technology, please contact me and we'll be happy to license this to you. And, you know, we'll students and I can all retire.
The medical application will take a little more time to perfect. And for those whose hearts or blood glucose levels rely on medical implants, it can't come soon enough.
We envision a future free of diseases and suffering and healthcare, which is easy and possible for all of us to access. To be honest, that keeps me up often at nights. Where do we go from here?
So you know that saying, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, that it's better to have something for sure than have something that might be better, but that isn't guaranteed? Well, forget the birds. What you needed was in your hand all along. And who would have thought it would be engineers making this happen? Well, trust me, you're in good hands. Wow, that looks really real. It doesn't have fingernails.
It does not.
Special thanks to Kaushik Choudhury, Associate Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering, and Stella Bono, a PhD candidate, both in the College of Engineering at Northeastern University. Sound engineering by Anthony Pulido. Our editor is David Filipov. From News at Northeastern, this is Litmus. We're News at Northeastern reporters Aria Bracci
and Emily Arnson.
Catch you next time.